The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome one, welcome all to the NFC East mixtape presented to you in partnership by Blog of the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, and Big Blue View, SB Nation's home for Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders, and New York Giants. Content you can listen to this show on any of those four podcast networks. Make sure to visit the site for your preferred team because that's the whole reason we do this. You can also watch this show on the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel or the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. He is Brandon Lee Gouten from BGN. I am RG Ochoa from BTB. Brandon, I'm so excited to ask you this question. Are you ready?
No.
What is the first department you go to in the grocery store that is not the produce?
Right, because you walk in, the produce is right there, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm talking like once the cool stuff starts happening.
I mean, usually kind of just an order from there. I'm not, you know, unless I'm going in specifically to get one or two items.
And I just have. I thought you were a little bit more unique. Wow, interesting.
Well, I mean, I just think it kind of makes sense. I just go through most of the aisles. Maybe I'll skip an aisle if it's like, you know, a pet food aisle or something, and I don't need anything from there. But for the most part, go through all the aisles, see if there's any deals. I usually have a list. I go with a list. I don't know about you. Haven't you talked about
paper or like before? On your phone?
On my phone.
Okay. I'm okay with Acme. That. Rob Stats Guerrera, who we both know. Who we both know and who we both like. Let's just leave it at that. You know, a little bit of a tease. Rob Stats Guerrera, I've talked to him about this. He uses a paper list like a weirdo. Who does that?
Yeah.
It's 2022, man. I mean, yeah.
Save the trees, Stats. Come on. What are we doing here?
We have a lot to get to. It's training camp time. We're not going to dilly-dally all too much, but we do suggest always to subscribe to your preferred podcast, team, whatever network. We're a little bit off. It's a little bit off. We're actually launching this episode later than usual. So apologies to everybody who was looking for it during the normal time on Wednesday morning. I just had some scheduling conflicts. So here we are. We made sure we got an episode out. But do subscribe, leave a rating, write a review, do the cross rating and cross review that BLG always talks about. Go to a different team site and let them know how you feel about them. Still leave 5 stars, but write whatever mean things you want. We have a brand new review on the BTB side of things. Brandon, are you ready?
I'm so excited to hear it.
This comes to us from Sloppy Joe Meat. So obviously the grocery trip involves materials for Sloppy Joe. I don't even like Sloppy Joe, if I'm being honest.
Same. What is the point? You know, just make a hamburger. What are we doing? Or make chili. Like, what is this halfway thing?
I don't mean to get the review off to a bad start, but Sloppy Joe Meat, we love you, but not a fan of that food. The title is NFC's Mixtape 5-star review. Here we go. I started a new job that allows me to listen to my phone at work for the first time. Congrats on the new job. And I've gotten tired of listening to my music and came across BTB podcasts. Absolute go-to, and I cannot wait for the season for endless capitalized content. Broncos country, let's ride. Literally says that. Literally says that in the review. Shout out to Sloppy Joe Meat. On the subject of this, I actually wanted to consult you and get your opinion. I know we're not wasting a lot of time dilly-dallying, but I also wanted to consult the listeners because I think you agree the mixtape fans are really, really special people, right? I mean, we love them, right?
I think the diehards listen to the mixtape. I don't think it's just the common listener, which is fine. We appreciate that listener too. I think those are more of the, maybe some of the main shows that we have going on in our respective feeds. But I definitely think the mixtape is for the most diseased of the diseased fans. And I say that right. In a loving way, who follow the teams.
We just, it's a little family to that point. And so I'm asking for the opinions of our family members, which includes you. I feel guilty just benefiting off of Russell Wilson's, you know, Russell Wilson-ness. I kind of feel like I need to buy like a Russell Wilson jersey or something. And maybe it's like a special moment on the mixtape every. Well, I have a Seahawks one, to be clear,
right.
But the Broncos Country Let's Ride thing is like a thing. And so, and I love all the mixtape listeners who tag me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok on the latest Russell Wilson quote. And so I just feel guilty. I feel like I'm just like this leech, you know, creating content for Russell Wilson or about Russell Wilson, and I'm not supporting the cause. And so I don't know what the protocol is here, but I was curious for your thoughts and everybody else's. And so I'll listen to everybody and do as the mixtape wishes.
You're appropriating Russell Wilson. I honestly think it makes a lot of sense for you to get his jersey because, one, you already have the Seahawks jersey. Number two, you already are him based on, you know, just the way you talk. Number three, you don't like the Chargers very much, and they're in the same conference. And also, you kind of don't necessarily love the Chiefs. You know, kind of sticks little bit of a thumb in Pete Sweeney's eye. So there's a lot of reasons to get the jersey. And I also, if I'm not mistaken, I think you like the Broncos uniform. So all the more reason to do it.
Love the colors. So if I do it, though, I'm going to get the navy. You know,
yeah, that's what I was expecting.
I really am sad that I can't be like, we in the orange, because I really want to be able to do that, but I don't like the orange jersey. So that's just that, you know, where that is. I did get a lot of requests. A lot of people like tagging me said, you know what to do. So if you allow me, Brandon, here we go. You know, I've always been about the extra work, and you know, some people say go the extra mile. I don't believe in that. I go the extra kilometer. Because I don't believe in the metric system. And I think that's how you become a prisoner to limitations. And so I like to expand my mind and look at international ways. And, you know, this summer I was in Monaco and, you know, Sierra and I, and she was doing her thing. I was doing my thing. And, you know, I've just really learned a lot about time and distance. And you know, like a lot of people don't know that light years are actually a measure of distance, not a measure of time. And I think light years now on Disney Plus, you know, not a sponsor, but you know, it's available for streaming. And so I just, you know, I'm here to work, and I want to bring that mentality to the Broncos organization. There's a great long and storied history in front of me and behind me. I saw Peyton over there with Marshall. Not Mathers. It's not 8 Mile around here. But yeah, Broncos Country. That's right.
In Denver, Russ goes the extra mile high.
Nice. Yeah, that line about tripling it was really dumb. I had a really funny joke that didn't land. I said, wow, he triples it when quadrupling is available. And nobody thought it was funny. So whatever.
So training camp started in the NFL last week.
I thought that was really funny. Whatever, BLG. Go ahead.
Including the Philadelphia Eagles. I forget exactly when the Cowboys started, but basically all around at some point last week, a little bit. Some camps a little bit earlier than that. So we're basically a week into training camp, and we have some major storylines, some of the biggest things I feel like to talk about coming out of camp. And why not start with your team, RJ? Start with the Cowboys. What is the biggest thing? Or at least, I guess you wanted to set the show up. But one of the things I did notice, I wanted to bring this up when I was on Blocking the Boys this morning, assembling the link roundup. There's an article titled, Dan Quinn reportedly offered to leave the Cowboys if Mike McCarthy found that the easier option, which I had to click on. So I'm like, well, what is going on?
So that story is, we didn't talk about this on any podcast. This works out. Good content by you. I also wanted to shout out Football Outsiders, who we all worked with this offseason, this summer, this training camp period. They had a little video that came out actually right before we started recording. And Ian O'Connor had a line that I thought was so good. I'm talking about the Cowboys. He said they're content with being content. I loved that. That was so good. But so, and that's kind of actually, that's kind of what I felt about this story. Joy Epstein of USA Today wrote about this. Apparently, Dan Quinn, when he was being courted to be a head coach this past offseason, you know, and also was connected to the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job, which Jerry Jones said was part of him playing poker to keep Dan Quinn around. Apparently, Dan Quinn, according to him, went to Mike McCarthy and just kind of, I guess, addressed the awkwardness, the elephant in the room sort of thing, and said, if it's easier for me to go, just say the word and I'll leave. Which, on one hand, lends me to believe, like, did he have a guaranteed offer to be a head coach somewhere? Did Dan Quinn, did somebody offer him the head coaching job that he ultimately turned down? Obviously that team wouldn't tell us. Maybe it is my Denver Broncos. I'm thinking about making them my Madden team. Like, if I'm going to do this, like, just go all out, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But we'll see. Anyway. So he went to Mike McCarthy, said, yeah, if it's easier for me to leave, whatever, say the word, and I'll go. And Mike McCarthy said, no, you know, winning's better with you here, whatever. So Dan Quinn decided to stay. I don't know if I buy that whole story, and I'm not trying to, like, cast aspersions on Dan Quinn. But I also, like, who benefits from that story coming out right now in August while you're at camp? I think that actually... I don't think it was uncool of Dan Quinn, but that doesn't make Mike McCarthy look all too great in my mind. And again, I'm not saying he's, like, out of turn or out of line, but that just, I don't know, that makes McCarthy, everybody knows what's going on with Mike McCarthy. Like, that only somewhat feeds it. So I thought it was curious that Dan Quinn, who's pretty measured, would tell this story.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it a bad vibe, but it's a weird vibe. And mm-hmm. I think this is exactly what the Cowboys have kind of needed to avoid. Like, I think more than any other NFC's team, arguably, they're in need of the most, like, stable, normal training camp. Just totally normal, like, no kind of crazy big headlines other than, okay, this player's kind of looking good, but no kind of, like, weird layered distractions or, like, subplots. And so I don't think this is unraveling the team, but it's just, like, another weird thing where you're like, what? Like, what am I reading? What is this about? What is going on here? So I guess my question for you would be, like, what are the more substantive things? What is one of the more things of substance to come out from Cowboys training camp?
Well, our pets' heads are falling off, Brandon. The Cowboys were the last team in the NFL to sign an external free agent, and their first, dip into those waters was James Washington, who's hurt. And by the way, I do think it's interesting, the initial reported recovery time frame for him was 6 to 10 weeks. Stephen Jones was on San Antonio Sports Star on Tuesday, and he said 8 to 10 weeks. CeeDee Lamb, when he met with the media after Tuesday's practice, said that he was told 10 to 12 weeks. So it does kind of feel like it's going to be much closer to the longer end of that spectrum. Mm. And who knows what you're, I mean, I don't know that anybody that was, I don't know anybody that legitimately was pumped about James Washington, all due respect to him. So the Cowboys, again, I know you've heard me, I've made the argument that they needed a receiver before they even got to camp, before Michael Gallup said he was out week one, before the James Washington injury. But the Cowboys have no intention, according to them at least, pursuing any veteran at the moment. They have kicker issues. They had the worst kicker in the NFL from an extra point conversion standpoint last season. They toyed with bringing him back after they cut him. They did not draft anybody. They signed an undrafted free agent. They brought back Lareem Hairuelohu a couple of weeks before camp, and now he is the better kicker, seemingly. So they have issues there. They left the swing tackle position on a team whose left tackle has missed time every year for 6 straight seasons to a battle between a second-year, fourth-round player who didn't play last year and a rookie fifth-round pick who had shoulder issues last year, who's now out at the moment with the aforementioned shoulder issues. So it's all of these problems were 100% predictable. So I think that's the thing of most substance is, like, the chickens are coming home to roost for the Cowboys. You know, it's like they're sitting here like, whoa, we have these little bitty problems. And, like, there are successes happening. I don't mean to say, like, it's all doom and gloom, but all the problems they have right now were 100% preventable, but they chose not to do it. They have $22 million in salary cap space, and they're seemingly not interested in exercising any of it.
So the Cowboys' top three receivers right now in terms of being ready to play are what? Like CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Tolbert, and who?
Noah Brown.
Okay. Not great, I would say. Not the ideal setup. Has Tolbert been impressing in training camp? I'm sure he has, based on hype.
It hasn't been the, like, you know what it's like when there's, like, the rookie receiver. Like, generally, that's, like, the easy guy to, like, pop. He hasn't had that kind of pop, but it's been standard pop. It's just, it's not, like, out of this world pop, which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But I think it kind of speaks to the receiver position, certainly not being anywhere where it was heading into the season last year. So that's a big difference. I did notice that you mentioned like kicker is just going to be an issue for this team, which tough spot to be in. Not necessarily going to ruin the whole season, but could actually be pretty significant. So, and then the backup tackle thing. I mean, Tyron Smith is going to miss games. Like he just is. Like, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, then that is way exceeding expectation. The expectation should be that he is going to miss time. So if that offensive tackle depth isn't there, then that's not great. And there's still options on the market. I know BTB had an article about that too, about some of the veteran names out there, including like a Sam Tevi. But you know, those guys are also out there for a reason still. They're not like super inspiring options. So,
and that's what's frustrating is like these August problems didn't need to exist. You know, if you had done the work in March, April, and May, you know, we wouldn't be worried right now. And we've talked a lot about regression of the mean in a number of different ways. One way that gets like a little bit or flies a little bit under the radar is they were very healthy last year. They were inordinately healthy, and that actually regressed past the mean from 2020. In 2020, the two teams who lost the most games to injuries were the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys, and we saw what happened to both those teams a season ago, obviously. And so if you do regress closer to the mean, at least you're going to miss, you know, some time from some important players beyond the statistical regression to the mean in as far as turnovers and things like that. And so it just, again, it feels like they're living in this, you know, this they're trying to live in this vacuum where everything's going to be perfect if everything goes according to plan. That's true, right? Like if everything goes according to your plan, you're going to be fine, but it probably won't, right? Like that's life in the NFL. And so that's, I think, the like general temperature right now. I do think people are excited. Micah Parsons does seem like, I don't know that he's going to be better from like a statistical, you know, standpoint, because it's very, very difficult. And the same goes for Trayvon Diggs. But they are showing the right signs of growth and development along their career trajectory. So that is really nice to see. And I do think, and I know you agree, it's possible for them to be better players this coming season with lower or fewer statistical numbers, just because, again, some inordinate things happened to them last year. So that's all, that's very good to see. They're extremely top heavy, and it feels like most of the top is fine and stable, but everything beyond that is they're a lasagna where the top layer just looks amazing and appealing, but underneath it's like not cooked and just gross.
I think it's the usual kind of thing with the Cowboys. It's like it's the flash over the substance, and the flash can be really good, but when you're digging deeper, it can be an issue. It's good you addressed the Parsons thing and Diggs and all that, because I was going to ask like what are some of the more encouraging things from camp, since we touched on the more negative with the Cowboys. But I guess you.
I do also think that the Dak and CeeDee, that connection feels very, very, very strong. It does feel like CeeDee is progressing the way it's training camp. Like, so injecting the right level of context, you know, I think we're seeing everything that we need to be seeing from CeeDee Lamb and from Dak Prescott. But again, like the other side of that coin, you know, the upward part of the yo-yo is that enough, right? Like, yes, you may have one of the most dynamic connections in the NFL, but you need more than that. We're learning that. That's evidenced by the opponent the Cowboys have in week one. The Buccaneers have Chris Godwin, who's ahead of Michael Gallup from a recovery standpoint. They already have Mike Evans. They have Scotty Miller. They, you know, are like, hey, let's add Julio Jones. Let's get more. Let's just do more. Let's add and add and add and add. And I think that's the mindset that every NFL team wants. So yeah, all in all, things aren't like on fire when it comes to the Cowboys, but they get worse every time the team talks about them. That's when I think, like, I can't think of a time in the last, I don't know, 2-3 years when Jerry Jones has spoken and good things have happened. He really upset people. I'm sure you saw with his sniveling comment about Jimmy Johnson and the Ring of Honor. So, you know, but he just is going to talk no matter what. He's just kind of blitzing through it, which on one hand, I respect, like, hey, just be you. But on another hand, it's like read the room, and they're not really good at that.
All right. Are you done with the Cowboys?
I suppose. I mean, we could talk about them for a long time.
I just meant in general, but also talking about them.
So Jalen Hurts is apparently thriving, right? That's what I have. That's the word.
That's Jalen Hurts on the street.
In ESPN's like training camp roundup for Tuesday, the Eagles portion, I don't know if you read this, was that Jalen Hurts had his best day of practice. So, whoa,
watch. I would agree with that. I have been doing a daily stock tracker for Jalen Hurts on Bleeding Green Nation, RJ. And first day, I've seen five practices now. Let me take you through a recap of that. So, in order from first day, day one to day five, I would say stock even, stock down, stock even, and then stock up. So, certainly not consistent by any means. He did have his best day on Tuesday, and in ways too that weren't necessarily just like the things that Jalen Hurts has consistently been good at thus far, as much as, oh, he was actually throwing over the middle of the field, which he didn't do and hasn't really done in his career. And oh, he was actually getting the ball quick, which he doesn't usually do. He usually holds onto the ball too long. And he not only getting the ball quick, but doing so with accuracy, throwing into tight windows to AJ Brown on these slant routes that he keeps doing, where it kind of gives AJ a chance to run after the catch. Obviously, you can't see the full extent of that impact because their Eagles aren't actually tackling to the ground or anything. So it's good to see. I mean, that kind of progress. I still think on the whole, we're not seeing a night and day difference from this quarterback, which is what the Eagles need to happen. Of course, it's early-ish in training camp. It's only been 1 week, 5 days. Not saying he can't continue to progress throughout camp and the summer and everything. I just have a hard time believing this is, you know, an incredibly different player. And if that's the case, again, if he's not that like super different player, where's this team's ceiling really?
It's him, right? Like he's it. You know, they could have, I don't know how many times I've seen lately, whether it's, you know, in the BT for BGN stuff or on Reddit, that if Dak Prescott were on the Eagles, that would be like a Super Bowl contending team. I think we both agree with that, right? Like it's a pretty deep roster that has a low ceiling because of Jalen Hurts. And I think it's difficult to buy that it's going to be better because you want it to be. I'm not saying you specifically, but you know what I mean? Like that just doesn't work that way.
Many teams do you feel like good about on the whole, but not with the quarterback, right? Like the 49ers
The 49ers in the past couple of years. I don't feel this way, but I think some people could make an argument for the Vikings. I think the Vikings have a really interestingly talented roster, but some people don't like the quarterback. I think I disagree with that, obviously. I think who's the opposite? Like on maybe the Raiders is also another answer for you, is the people that don't like Derek Carr. But who's the opposite? Like, or maybe the Broncos were the Eagles you're talking about last year too, like a talented roster that's kind of a quarterback away, but who's the opposite? Like just has the quarterback and has nothing else.
I mean, the Packers, the Packers have been that at points with Aaron Rodgers for sure. I don't know. You can argue if they are or not now. I think they're a little bit better now, but at times they have been that team.
What about the Cardinals?
The Seahawks probably at some additions.
I'm talking now though. Like I think The Cardinals are in that mix a little bit.
I don't know about their quarterback.
I mean, he's the most talented player on the team though. That's you know the point.
Talented. But there's more to be said for the quarterback position than just talent.
Maybe I'm in the future, there's going to be an argument for that's the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has no talent around him. But like, we're going to get the meme. I don't know what car it is, but you know, I'm talking about the like Corvette or whatever it is in the like rundown house. And they're going to be like Patrick Mahomes on the Kansas City Chiefs. So
yes, there will be additions of that in part because you're paying a quarterback big money and you can't necessarily. And that's kind of what I go back to with Hurts. Like people talk about all the time. What's the standard? Like, what does he need to do? What bar does he need to clear to prove himself as the franchise quarterback? And to me, it's about beating quality opponents because the Eagles haven't done that. Hurts hasn't done that. And it's also winning because of him at some points. It doesn't have to be you win every single game because of him, but you have to win some games because of him. And it can't just be like the 49ers with Jimmy G where he's along for the ride and you're just winning with him, because at some point you're not going to be able to have that stack roster when Hurts is on his contract extension instead of his rookie deal. So you need to see like you can win because of Hurts, and that much is very much TBD.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I don't think there's anything from camp, and I know you've been, I'm not saying like your work is meaningless, but like there's nothing that's going to like make somebody who doesn't feel glowing about Jalen Hurts feel glowing about him throughout camp. There is like, because of the data set, the sample size, there is this like, I really need to see it in the regular season. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, where we're at.
It's how,
what else? What What about the non-Jalen stories? Is AJ Brown on fire? Oh, I saw that Jalen Reagor caught a big time touchdown. Jalen Hurts. Watch.
Jalen Reagor did have the best practice I've ever watched on Tuesday. I don't take that to mean anything moving forward because he has a long way to go before anyone can say he's turned a corner in his career. But hey, credit to him for having a good day. He only got playing time with the ones because Quez Watkins had to miss some practice time due to illness. So he took advantage of the first team reps. But yeah, AJ Brown's looking good. He's kind of really coming on here. Darius Slay has had a hard time covering him. And I don't think that's really a put down on Darius Slay because Slay's had good coverage, to be clear, at times too. And AJ Brown has just like made the play. Like yesterday on Tuesday, Darius Slay and Brown were going up against each other in a one-on-one rep. And Slay had pretty good coverage, even got a hand on the ball, but Brown was able to stay with it. And he like pinned it to his helmet with just like one hand as he went out of bounds. Like that's like a wide receiver one kind of, that's like elite wide receiver, big money receiver kind of catch. So we've seen some good signs from him. I think that's probably one of the more relevant things in terms of big picture. I don't need to get into like Marcus Epps. People don't really care about that outside of Philly.
What about Jordan Davis? Besides the incredible vocals.
He's a big man. And not just like, I keep making this distinction. He's not fat. He's 6'6", 334 pounds.
He's just a bigger human than other people, right?
He's very large, but he looks like sleek as much as someone can look sleek for that with those dimensions. Like he looks like very, I mean, it makes sense. He tested it out of the gym in terms of, you know, his athletic measurements and everything, elite athlete. And we've seen some of that. And in one-on-ones, he is he's pretty powerful and dominant. It's hard to block that guy one-on-one. So early encouraging signs from him as well. You know, there's going to be a rotation in there, but definitely stock up for him. I think he's looked good, not only in terms of like clogging up runs, which everyone is assuming what he can do, but also like actually being able to kind of generate pressure up the middle in the backfield there on the quarterback. So, yeah, definitely stock up for him. If I have to take a negative thing, I mean, it's kind of the Hurts thing, I would say. Not that he's looked bad, but just that he hasn't made the leap. What else? I don't know. I guess that's the biggest thing. I'm trying to do like a big negative and big positive for each team here, I guess.
Okay, well, it sounds like we're in a good place with the Cowboys and Eagles, all things considered. Are you ready to take a little break and then do the other two teams?
I need a break. You know? I'm tired, RJ. Let's take a break.
Okay, the YouTube audience, we're definitely taking a break. The podcast audience, obviously, you know what's happening. Brandon, we're back. During the break, you were telling me about the way you spice food when you cook, the things that you get from the grocery store. What is the first spice you always place on meat when you're cooking meat?
I don't cook a lot of meat, actually. And I'm not a vegan or vegetarian or anything. I very much enjoy a good burger or whatever when I'm going out. But I don't cook with a lot of meat at home. I guess I'm not really supposed to have red meat due to health reasons and everything. So, or at least eat it kind of, you know, in moderation. So that's part of it. The other part of it is I don't really desire it when I'm like cooking at home. I feel like I kind of just, it's more
desire.
I
don't use the word desire often enough. That was a good usage of desire.
Wow. Good YouTube.
You had a hoagie the other day that you posted on Instagram and it looked, also you attacked the pizza that I had. nobody saw this because it was an Instagram direct message. I posted a photo of a pizza I had last Friday night, and Brandon came in all elitist and pretentious and was like, this pizza looks so stupid. It was delicious. I'll have you know. Those are your exact words.
It looks like a Texas pizza. It looks like a pizza that was made in Texas.
But you said it looks like a Texas pizza if I've ever seen one. That last part was the dismissive, like, the filth of this. It was amazing.
Well, I haven't seen one, so I was saying, like, if I had. It looked a little off in terms of what I would normally expect to see. It doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad pizza, but it looked different is the point. It looked different. And I was like, I can tell this is like a pizza made in Texas.
I actually had this conversation with my wife and we're about to get to the Commanders, but, so a pizza is a pie, right? Like it's a pizza pie. Sure. I maintain when we're talking about pies, like the general desserts, the crust isn't important. Like if the crust sucks on a pie, it affects my sort of grading or my you know assessment of the pie.
Absolutely.
But it's not as necessary for me when it comes to pizza. And she disagreed. Like, wrong. I would love for the crust to be good when it comes to the pizza, but like sometimes I don't even eat the crust. A lot of people don't even eat the crust. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
so you're talking nobody about the edge.
Yeah, like again, what is the crust the way it would
the
be?
The bottom
in a
is
pie.
The crust too.
It is the crust, and like obviously, if that sucks, then the pizza sucks. But like, yeah. it's defined a little bit differently. So that's what I'm saying. The like the outer edge crust is not. That was the discussion, the debate we were having. My point is, it is not as necessary to be good with a pizza the way it is with a traditional pie.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that. I mean, it's like that's where it has to go, right? And I think that's where there's a lot of variables because people do different kinds of crusts and different temperatures. I think an underrated pizza experience, RJ, and I don't get to do this a lot, I feel like, because I'm usually just getting a whole pizza, and that's like a normal serving size for someone as huge as me, or maybe I eat half and then have half like the next day or whatever, is the slice that has been sitting out, but they pop it back in the oven and it gets reheated. So it gets like that re-crisp on it. I think that's really underrated. Also, along those lines, I don't know about you and if we've talked about this before, but my favorite way to reheat pizza, if I'm going to reheat pizza, I think a lot of people do it in the air fryer nowadays. I don't have one, so I can't do that. I used to do toaster oven a lot. If I have a lot of pizza, I'll do the oven. You know, if I have like, you know, four or more slices, I'll do like the oven. But if, you know, if I have just one slice, I might just throw it in the toaster oven. But I think the best way to do it, really, after a lot of trial and error, is a frying pan. You got to put it in the frying pan.
Dude, that's a great point.
You do the cheese side down first. So, like, as it's warming up, it's not going to, like, burn it. It's just going to warm it up enough so that side actually gets warm and, like, the cheese gets a little bit melty in the sauce and everything. And then once it starts to get, like, hotter, you flip it back over. You get it on that backside. And I think it kind of gives you that pizza oven slice experience where like the bottom is crisp and it's mm-hmm. really good.
It's a good point. This is a subject for next week, so everybody just kind of, you know, put a bookmark in it if you want. Tweet or Instagram us at Brandon Gotten, at RJ Ochoa on both places. You mentioned like pizza sitting out. People talk about like, oh, the best cold food is pizza, like out of the fridge. There's a different category to me is the best like room temped food, like something that's been sitting out, like you said, pizza. My argument for that, and again we'll discuss this next week, is Chick-fil-A nuggets. If you go to like an event or like a banquet or like whatever, like a press box or something, and the Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets have been sitting out for, again, I'm not saying like 5 hours, but for enough time to, you know, lose their heat and reach, you know, the equilibrium of room temperature, nothing better at room temp than that. So I want to hear your thoughts next week. Right now, I want to hear your thoughts on Curtis Samuel. All right. Because, whoa, he joined up with Ron Rivera and he had a lot of success in Carolina. And that meant that he was going to have a lot of success in Washington. Now, I don't celebrate any player being hurt. Neither of us do that. But he's been limited through the early portion of training camp practices for the Commanders. Ron Rivera on Tuesday said there was some concern with his football conditioning after not playing much last year, which factors into managing his workload. We've got rest management happening here. His quote, "You have to be smart with it. We're going to stick to the plan." He said it has nothing to do with last year's groin injury. Do you believe him?
No, not at all. And regardless of what I believe, I mean, there's so many red flags here. How was anyone looking at this Curtis Samuel signing and be like, yeah, this is going to work out? Year one was a wash, but year two, this is really going to it's gonna be different this year. No, I think all the signs are not pointing towards that.
It's not a good moment for the Commanders here. What is a good moment? What have you seen is like promising?
Little birdie. And I will name the source here. My friend Mike K, who used to cover the Eagles full time for different outlets, including BleedingGreenNation.com once upon a time. He has been going to training camps up and down the East Coast, RJ. He works with Pro Football Network now, including the Giants and the Commanders training camp. So I've kind of been picking his brain on the sideline when he's been showing up at Eagles training camp to get a low down on what's happening there. And he did confirm to me that Jahan Dotson is looking good. He's definitely impressing early on. Carson Wentz and him seem to have a good connection. I've seen the same thing being said by other Washington beat reporters, so that's not just him. So that's the positive. But I've also, to throw another negative in here, I've also heard Mr. Carson Wentz has not necessarily looked great. I saw a tweet today from Mike Garofolo that apparently he's coming off a good day of practice. So, okay. But on the whole, I've heard he still had problems with accuracy issues, which I'm certainly no stranger to seeing. So it seems like there's a decent amount of up and down in camp. It's been quiet for Terry McLaurin. I wonder if, you know, that could be an interesting thing where once upon a time, Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz weren't exactly on the same page. I wonder if that could be a similar issue. And Carson Wentz tends to have his favorites, and it seems to be like Dotson is one of those favorites early on.
I mean, all that is fair. And like, I wanted to have some fun with the like Carson Wentz, like throwing back-to-back interceptions tweets that were happening, but like, it's training, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen. Like, I don't think that we should, you know, cause that happens to Aaron Rodgers or whoever in training camp and nobody makes fun of it. Again, I think is like people just confirming their priors. I hate to be negative, but we didn't even bring up that last week, Ron Rivera kind of accidentally let slip that Chase Young might start the season on the PUP list. Which is significant because that would mean, and we've talked about this, he's out for the first four games of the season, which is down from six. That's a new rule change. He would miss the first games of the Commanders against both the Eagles and the Cowboys if he were to be on the PUP list at the beginning of the season. That seems seismic. I mean, Chase Young is literally the type of player who can swing a game, two divisional games against the two best divisional teams. Not a great moment for the Commanders.
On the subject of the fans, because I know you sent that to me, just the lack of fans at training camp. And I think it's interesting to see the response to that, because I think my impression is that some people might clown on the fans. I'm like, no, I have all the respect in the world. Don't show. Why would you show up? Why would you waste your time and money, even if it's just gas money, whatever, getting there, on this team that's like pathetic in so many ways? Don't waste your time on that. Like, don't show up. Like, you're standing out there in the hot summer sun to see like this garbage organization.
Yeah, hot sun. What's the temperature in Landover or whatever? I mean, I heard like 80 hot. Degrees, 85 degrees.
I don't know. I'm not an expert. I've been in DC in the summer though. I have been in DC in like mid June, and it was really freaking hot. And then shout out to my dad, who I think once was in D.C. and kept talking about how he wanted to jump in the Potomac. I think that was like some kind
of Mr. Gowden jumping in the Potomac. Respect.
Yeah, he didn't actually do it, but I think he was so hot. So I have heard it's hot down there. Anyway, the point is that I respect the fans for not showing up. I'm not going to clown on them for that. That's more of an indictment of the organization than it is the fans.
Yeah. I mean, they're also, did you see the like fight song thing they're doing, the like contest or like input they're receiving?
No.
Like, because they have to change the fight song because it used to be Hail to the, obviously, and so they're amending some of the lyrics, and so they're petitioning or polling fans on what they prefer, and one line is like Hail to our leaders, and again, it's really like lame, you know, verbiage. Ron Rivera is like, I love the words about leaders because I'm a leader, blah blah blah, lead. So whatever.
I like the idea that like the team name has anything to do with like the team. Like we value leadership here, so we're gonna have good leader. No, it doesn't matter. A team could be called anything. Does not impact the culture. Unless it's like really terrible and problematic, maybe, but
it's dumb. Let's move on to the New York Giants, because word is hot around Daniel Jones that he's doing well. Actually, before we get to Daniel Jones, and everyone should go check out, like I said, the site for their favorite team here, whether it's Blogging the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Honks Haven, Big Blue View. Ed Valentine at Big Blue View does a great job recapping practice every day for Giants fans. And it helps for us, obviously, in our jobs as well. Kadarius Toney on Tuesday, BLG, took a rep as a wildcat quarterback.
I have heard he's been looking good, which is
He's really talented. We know that.
Sure. But there was rumors about him being like traded not too long ago. So it seems like that has kind of died down and he's settled in a little bit. Maybe they kind of got on the same page after some disharmony there, which is good news for the Giants. I did see Ed mention that Daniel Jones just had his best day of practice, not dissimilar to Jalen Hurts. So that's a stock up for him. At least one day, my good friend Mike told me that Daniel Jones wasn't super impressive when he went. And he specifically said that like he feels like they're not letting him throw the football beyond 15 yards. Maybe that was just the situation on the day he went. They were kind of just working on more situational stuff. That's also, if that's the case, which I'm not expecting it to be, but that'd be bad because, like, Daniel Jones, what's he best at? Probably is throwing. He has an arm. He can throw down the field. He also said that him and Galladay aren't necessarily on the same page yet still, which is alarming because they're supposed to be, you know, a top combo. But that's all I'm hearing out of Giants camp.
Well, while we're talking about not throwing it deep down the field, I saw our friend Seamus wrote about Jalen Hurts having nothing but checkdowns. So, I mean, it's a popular thing right now.
Tell me about it. Because, like, you know, there's some people who track the training camp stats and it'll be like, wow, Jalen Hurts was like 14 to 16. I'm like, yeah, okay. He threw like one pass beyond 10 yards. Like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So whatever. But I do think this is positive about Daniel Jones. I found it funny. We're at the time of year where like NFL Network is at every single training camp, right? And they're like kind of parachuting in and they're interviewing people and stuff. And while they're interviewing somebody, they have like the stats from last year just kind of flashing on the screen, right, for the viewer. So they have Daniel Jones on the set. They're like gassing him up, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, sit, tell the guy he sucks. And so they're like, oh, how excited are you, blah, blah. And then the screens come up and it's like every ranking in every offensive category, it's like 30th, 31st. Like, it was so funny, like, just like kind of seeing it. So we'll see. Can you stop being the meme, Giants? Another note from Giants practice, BLG. I don't know anybody that's been higher on Adoree Jackson than us, actually. I actually can't name another person who likes Adoree Jackson the way we do. And we praise that signing. We get criticized for not liking the things the Giants and Commanders do, but we were all in on that, and he's apparently on fire. That makes sense. He's a talented athlete. We could totally see him. You know, maybe, hey, you know what? You know what, Brandon? The reason that they got, that they cut James Bradberry, James Strawberry, Blueberry, was because we got Adoree Jackson. He's going to take a leap here in his second year with the Big Blue View. He's got the NY on his helmet. Sometimes it has the block Giants like Bill Parcells had back in the day. That's pretty good. New York accent.
So you're Russell Wilson, and you're also a New York guy. I just don't even imagine actual, for whatever reason, I can't imagine like actual people in New York, New York City, New Yorkers like talking about the Giants. I know they're New York based, but I guess because they're in North Jersey, I just have a hard time picturing it as much as I could about like the Yankees. You know what I mean? I feel like you would like that would be much right. more, or the Knicks, much more easy to envision for me. For some reason, I can't. Who are you talking about? You're talking about, oh, Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe if the Giants get off to a slow start, which isn't their schedule kind of. I forget exactly what their schedule looks like, but I thought some of the tougher games earlier on. In any case, maybe that's a guy who, if not a long-term piece for this roster, which I don't know, but maybe a guy you can sell off. You know, they didn't get anything for James Bradberry. That was unfortunate for them. Maybe they can sell him by the deadline, assuming the season isn't going well.
The Giants schedule, incidentally, week one at the Tennessee Titans, so revenge for Adoree Jackson.
Wow.
Week two, they have the Carolina Panthers. Week three, Monday Night Football. That's one of the games they're wearing the throwback uniforms that I mentioned, against the Cowboys. Week four against the Bears. Week five, Packers. Week six, Ravens. So the first, you got to win those first two, Tennessee and Carolina, because then you got Dallas and Chicago and then Green Bay.
What's
and
their
Baltimore.
Record? What's their record in through 6 weeks there?
Through 6 weeks. So Tennessee, Carolina, Dallas, Chicago,
one and
Green
five,
Bay,
two
Baltimore.
And four.
Yeah, 2-4. I think 3-3 if you're optimistic. I mean, because I'll give them the Panthers and the Bears.
Right.
The Titans are kind of the weird one. But yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
I thought the James Bradberry thing that was really funny. Blueberry, strawberry. What's your favorite berry?
Probably. Wow, that's a tough question. What about you? Let me give you some time to think.
Strawberry. I love strawberries. I love strawberry. If I'm getting any kind of like, you know, fruity thing or whatever, it's like, what flavor do you want? Strawberry. What flavor Blow Pop you want? Strawberry. You know, what flavor smoothie? What flavor slushy? Strawberry. Boom. I'm not a big guy. I don't really like cherry stuff. I've never been the like sour apple, sour grape. Like, I've never liked sour candies or things like that. It's not my thing.
You don't like Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah, well, that's different. I'm talking about like the flavorings of things. Mm. Like, did you ever eat like Warheads growing up? You know what I mean? Like, people are like, I love the super sour thing. Oh, you don't like it? Oh, you're not cool. You don't like the sour stuff. Oh, sour. Like, I'm just not for me.
Ah, man. This is a tough question because I really like a triple berry pie. You know, you mix like a blueberry, a blackberry, and a raspberry maybe, or something like that, or some kind of combination, or even like a boysenberry in there. I think that could be really good. I'm really good.
It comes. All those are great berries, but they need to be in something. Like, you can't eat those berries by themselves. Not like strawberries. Yeah.
I think I have to go. I'm between blueberry and raspberry. Those are my top two, I think. And I think I'm going to have to go blueberry. And I know some of them, it can kind of be hit or miss because some of them are like bigger and mushier and not enough flavor. But you get the right ones and they're really tart and sweet. And I just like it.
I will say, as far as pastries are concerned, blueberry is the best. Like, nothing comes close to blueberry muffin, blueberry scone, whatever. So well done there. Blueberry yogurt still also very good. So it's somewhat
good
versatile.
Summer treat. Like, it's hot. You just need to cool down and have like a cool snack as opposed to a room temperature snack. Mm-hmm. Like a nice cool snack. Yeah.
I wanted to bring one last thing up before we get ready to get up and get out of here. The great Bob Stern from The Ticket and The Athletic tweeted something out. This is obviously about the Cowboys. It's just, you know, this is an ongoing story as well, I think. And this impacts the division. So this is the tweet from Bob Stern. Running backs with 100 carries and 35 catches in a season and averaging 5 or more yards per carry and 8 or more yards per reception. Do you understand the criteria?
Yeah. Do I understand this very specific...
Okay, so since 2019, there are only 5 running backs to accomplish this. Okay, number one, Jonathan Taylor, not a shock, right? Number two, Alvin Kamara, not a shock. Number three, Dalvin Cook, and these are single seasons, by the way. So this was 2021, Jonathan Taylor, 2020, Alvin Kamara, 2020, Dalvin Cook, 2020, Jonathan Taylor. So Jonathan Taylor having an amazing start to his career, obviously, and 2021, Tony Pollard. That's the fifth one. That's the fifth season. That's the only other one besides two Jonathan Taylors, an Alvin Kamara, and a Dalvin Cook.
I couldn't have possibly guessed you were going to say Tony Pollard.
And they won't use him.
Wow.
That's just...
So wow. Sad.
It's actually sad.
There has to be something there to not trusting him as a volume player.
It's Zeke's contracts. What's there? That's what it is.
Well, I think that's the other part of it. But yes,
Tony Pollard. If you play, I know you don't play fantasy, but like if you're in a dynasty league, trade for Tony Pollard this year, and then in 2023 when he's on the Falcons or the Broncos or whatever, he is going to go off. I mean, we're going to see like an insane year. We're going to be like, this dude was on the Cowboys and they didn't use him, and then I will hate everything. I wanted to bring this up before we get out of here. We talked about his singing. Who do we talk about singing? I forgot. I had a whole point about this.
Jordan Davis.
Goodness gracious, we talked about Jordan Davis singing. He went viral. He had the moment, whatever. Did you see what Aiden Hutchinson did?
No.
So I mentioned NFL Network kind of parachuting into different camps. They were at Detroit Lions camp, the Lions on Hard Knocks starting next week. Make sure to check out our friends at Pride of Detroit. They'll have some post Hard Knocks content as well. He was on with, I think it was with Tom Pelissero, and he was asked about his singing, and he sang right there, like on set, on live television.
Wow.
Do you think, and it sounded really good actually, but do you think that's cool? Or do you think that's him like kind of playing up to the moment? You know what I mean? Like maybe he knows he's a good singer. And so he's like, if I sing right here, everyone's going to be like, how cool. Aiden Hutchinson sang on camera. He's not afraid of anything. So where do you fall?
I think it takes some courage to do that. So especially on the spot, I can do things on the spot. I think it could be a sign of charisma. I think it could be a sign that he could be a good leader in addition to being a pretty good player. I mean, underrated, not underrated, properly rated probably, but like maybe underappreciated is that like, how cool is it if you are a Lions fan or any kind of fan of any team and you get like that local player who happens to be really good? It's fun. It's a fun extra layer to rooting for this guy who could potentially be like a building block for your franchise for years to come.
It's a little tough if you're like a Michigan State fan. You know what I mean? Like that's probably a little bit difficult.
I know a Michigan State fan who's a Lions fan, but like he doesn't care. Like he'll take Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, yeah, but still, like But my point is, like, you're right. It's much cooler if you are a Michigan fan, and that works out. I can't. There's, you know, that happened like when Roy Williams was traded to the Cowboys, incidentally from the Lions. All the University of Texas fans, but that didn't work out. That's why a lot of people wanted Johnny Manziel.
Was it for him?
We don't need to talk
about
this, Brandon.
Was it two or three?
Okay. Let's move on. Let's leave. Give us 3 random words that all start with the letter T, as in trombone. Trombone cannot be one of your words.
Time, like T-H-Y-M-E.
Ooh, okay.
Train.
Okay, shout out Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. Uh-huh.
Tuberculosis.
Whoa, rough note to end on.